to the Sanitarium Board. Hamilton, Newcastle, New South Wales, Australia, January 3, 1899. To the Sanitarium Board. Dear brethren, I write to ask if you will not make some substantial donations to our sanitarium at Summer Hill, Sydney. I understand that you are having a large patronage, and the sanitarium is well furnished and abundantly provided with every convenience. I have requested Dr. Kellogg to help us in establishing a hospital in Kurrumbong, and he is raising a fund for this purpose. We shall do all we can to put up this building, with some donations to help us. Dr. Kellogg thinks he can raise $1,000 to furnish the building. This hospital has now become a necessity more than ever before. The interest here in our camp meeting exceeds anything we have ever seen in any meeting in America or in any other country. Right through the holidays, with all their exciting amusements, we have had on weekdays as many as 1,200 people at the tent, earnest, intelligent people. Many children of outsiders come in. On last Sunday, there were about 400 in attendance at the children's meeting. These meetings are under the direction of Sister Peck. She has the children arranged in classes under appointed teachers whom she instructs and assists in the work. The kindergarten methods are followed as far as possible. Dr. Caro, or someone of his associate workers, gives a health lecture every day, usually at about 5 p.m. This follows the service at 3 o'clock, at which I am to speak. I speak several times during the week upon practical religion, temperance, home training, etc. The evening is devoted to the exposition of Bible subjects of special interest to the people. The Sabbath question is now being presented. Last Sabbath and Sunday afternoon, I spoke to a large number, 1,200 on Sunday afternoon. On Sunday evening, Elder Daniels spoke to 2,000. I have never seen anything like the interest we are having. We had to hire a large tent for meetings. An excellent one was secured at a rent of £15. We can buy this tent for £60, $300, additional. We think it is too much, but a tent must be bought so that we can continue the meetings. The whole city of Newcastle is stirred, and the interest reaches to Maitland, 22 miles away. We have never seen in any camp meeting a better class of hearers than we have here. They are noble-looking men and women. I have just come in from the tent, where I spoke to 300 people in regard to the duties of fathers and mothers in the home. This is the second time I have spoken today. Yesterday, I had an interview with Dr. Caro. He laid before me the situation of things. The sanitarium at Summer Hill is in distressing need of bath and treatment rooms. The house they occupy was only a private residence and is altogether too small. There are only two small treatment rooms, separated by a temporary partition, which extends only part way to the ceiling. The men have one side, and the women the other. It is simply ridiculous to give treatment in this way. We would have a much larger number of patients if we only had a suitable building. It is necessary for several persons to take baths in the same room at the same time. I tell you, everything about this bathroom is about as bad as it can be. From the light God has given me, there is no need for us to be in this situation. The Lord has directed me to appeal to those who have abundant facilities and every advantage. It is their duty to restrict their outlays and help those who are in need. The Lord is not pleased with the free use of money when there is very little to show for the expenditure. Remember that we are your neighbors, doing the very same work that you are doing in America. My husband and I made every effort to establish the sanitarium in America, and the means which we invested in donations to that institution would give us a suitable building here so that we could have a good showing. We know that means is being invested in enterprises where there are very little returns. This is not according to the way of the Lord. We ask that some of this money be sent to us so that we can obtain a building which will give character to our work. The light that I have is that means is spent in various lines where it will not produce in solid results 100th part of what it would accomplish in this new field. We cannot draw from our churches here the means for this work. The light given me is that I should present our necessities to the sanitarium and call in earnest for help to establish a sanitarium in this country. I would that Dr. Kellogg and his associates on the sanitarium board might see afar off and then some of the means being swallowed up, in one way and another in America, would come to us as God would have it. In the name of the Lord, I ask that this may be. We have no money with which to procure health foods. We have no place to establish our health institution. We have fitted up, as best we could, the rooms of a private, hired dwelling house at Summer Hill. But we have not 1/100th part of the advantages that you have in your American institutions. I am directed of the Lord to call upon you to do something for us, and to do it now. From the light given me of God, I know that the boards and managers of our sanitariums in America have a duty to help us. Help is needed in this country now, while there are those of experience here to manage the interests of the work. Some division of your funds must be made for this purpose. This should have been done long ago. I am instructed that this can be done now, if you are not so lavish with means and enterprises that will not accomplish 1/100th part as much as may be accomplished with the same means in this far-off land. Little help will be given us by the doctors in this country. There is occasionally one who appreciates the principles and speaks well for our work, but the physicians generally do not want sanitariums established, and they will make it as hard for us as possible. The hospitals here are numerous, but the nursing is not on the best lines, and in some of them, patients are roughly handled. We should have an institution which is a commendable example of right arrangements and right methods, as well as of right principles, but time is passing, and we have nothing to do with. See how little we have in this country to give character to the work. A good sanitarium here will count more in giving efficiency to all our work than it could possibly do in America. Wealthy men come to our sanitarium, look at the miserably constructed bathrooms, and say, "I can never consent to take treatment in such a place," and they leave the institution disappointed. But the place is the best we could provide with the means at our command. Again, I say, give us something to work with. Have you not many things about the sanitarium that could be spared, that would be useful here? Things that have been laid aside for better and improved appliances? Some of these things, if presented to workers going out empty-handed to open up work in new fields, would have made them feel rich. The money spent in gospel wagons would have been far better used if invested in something solid and abiding. It is true that the gospel wagons will accomplish some good, but I saw that there would be disappointment as to the final results. In contrast with this, another work was presented to my sight. Tents were being taken to different places during suitable seasons of the year. Camp meetings were being held in many localities. These were conducted by able, God-fearing men, assisted by suitable helpers. Children's meetings were held, and revival meetings, to bring the people to take their stand for the truth. Wherever such meetings are held, young men who have received an education in medical missionary lines should feel it their duty to act a part. They should be encouraged to speak, not only on medical missionary lines, but also upon the points of present truth, giving the reasons why we are Seventh-day Adventists. These young men, given an opportunity to work with older ministers, will receive much help and blessing. God's work is one the world over, but how little is this recognized? During the years since we have been in Australia, there should have been a transfer of means and facilities, that we might have the advantages that are so much needed. There has been a decided neglect. Some little help has been given, but it is very small when compared with your rich abundance and our pressing need. Where there is abundance of facilities, means are going out for that which in the end will accomplish but little good. Difficulties will be ever arising, and continued apparent necessity for the investment of more means. The people in Battle Creek have not been without instruction concerning these things. It has been presented to them again and again. They have been warned of the Lord's displeasure at the investment of so much in one place. When they sent missionaries here, they should have seen what was needed and provided for their passage money and for facilities with which to make a beginning in the work. Instead of this, directions have come from Battle Creek to push forward the medical missionary work, to make a beginning, to put this work in the forefront. We cannot make bricks without straw. The work would now be greatly enlarged had we not been continually handicapped by the lack of means. Large donations have been made to establish the institutions at Battle Creek, and God now calls upon them to use some of this in His work in other lands. It all belongs to God, Every dollar is his, and he is not pleased with your neglect to do the work that needs to be done. Here at Newcastle, the interest to hear the truth astonishes us. We had expected only a small meeting here. Before going to Brisbane, there were presented to me many companies stretching out their hands, imploring, "Come over and help us. We want light. We want the true gospel." And one who had authority said, "They are as sheep without a shepherd." See Mark 6, verse 34. A very large company were reaching out their hands, saying, "Come and help us. We are starving for the bread of life." I thought that meant Brisbane, and was sure of it on seeing the interest there. But the interest here is beyond anything I have ever seen before in any camp meeting. The many pleasure lovers flock to the horse racing and cricket matches, enjoying their holiday to suit their own taste. But the class attending our meeting has been of altogether a different mold. They want something that they have not. Hundreds, yes, thousands, have come to the tent and have listened with deep interest to the Word of God. And this meeting is only 22 miles from where our school is located. We shall have to build a meeting house here. I have just received between £200 and £300, an old debt due on a cottage sold years ago in Oakland, California. We are in distressing need of this money. I want every farthing of it to invest in buildings for the school. We must provide additional room for our students for the coming year. And there are half a dozen other things I want to do with this money, right in our conference. But there is the need of help in Brisbane. At the camp meeting there, we were much surprised by the favors shown us by those in positions of trust, and the attendance at the meetings was far beyond our expectation. Since the meeting, Elder Haskell and his wife have been struggling almost alone. Brother Pallant was obliged to leave in order to receive treatment. He has been very sick from overwork and because he did not properly care for his health. He feels the travail and burden of souls, and is a man on whom we could depend to present the truth in clear lines. Brother Wilson still lies apparently at the gates of death, but the prayers of God's people are put up without ceasing in his behalf. He and his wife are laborers to be trusted. In every place their influence is the very best. We have by faith brought Brother Wilson to the feet of Christ, and we sincerely hope that it may be for the glory of God to spare his precious life. His wife holds him by faith. Elder Haskell visits him often and prays for him and encourages him. If he is raised up, it is the great physician alone whose all-skillful touch has done the work for him. And we pray in his case, as in every other case. We greatly desire that our brother shall live. We know thou canst raise him from the grasp of the enemy death, for thou art the life-giver. Thou knowest our longing desire that he should live. His life is wholly dependent upon God. Now we wait with great hope, yet saying as we always do, "If it is for our good and for thy name's glory, do this for us, for him. But thy will, not ours, be done." Thus we offer prayer constantly for our brother. Now Elder Haskell is the only minister left to carry the Brisbane interest. Souls are embracing the truth, a church is being raised up, and a meeting house must be built. There is no other way to do it if we are to save souls for Jesus Christ in this country. When the draft I have mentioned came to us at this place, I wanted to thank God with heart and soul and voice. I said, "Now our hospital is the very first consideration. Dr. Kellogg is working for us in America, and we shall work here as God gives us opportunity. This money from the sale of my house is my own. I am at liberty to use it in his cause as I shall see best." But we could see plainly enough the situation in Brisbane, and I said to Willie, "I feel that now is our time to invest means in the Corranbong school and in the hospital. But the need at Brisbane means most to us now." I had pledged £5. In the place of that, I shall send them £100. But £100 more must come from some source. This will not enable them to purchase land and build, but to hire land and commence to build. The building is a positive necessity, so I have cut out £100 from my little store of means. Now another need comes up. I must relieve the necessity of the sanitarium at Sydney, letting them have £100 to build the bathrooms which they need so much. This sum is a small mite, but it shall go as far as possible. I could do no more, I thought. We must have something to live on, and bills are unpaid for the groceries we have been using. The interest here is beyond anything we expected, and the work must be followed up. We have only a hired tent for this meeting. We are raising a fund to purchase a tent at once. Next week, when this hired tent is returned, we must have something to supply its place. A donation to this fund took £10 of the draft, and so the entire sum is being appropriated if we help them to begin the sanitarium bathrooms, which they will have to move if they find a place which they can purchase, or if they can obtain means to build. You see what I have done, and now I have borrowed money from the Wessels family, who have done so much for Avondale. This borrowed money must be repaid very soon, and I must hire means to do it. We have not made as much improvement as the Lord has signified must be made on the school ground. The royalty on my books sold in foreign countries has been dedicated to the Lord and has been invested in those countries in just such work as we are trying to do here. Thousands of dollars have gone this way in helping the cause in Europe, where help is so much needed. I needed every dollar in this new world. I can see no way but that I must have the use of these foreign royalties to appropriate here. It is needed to do the same work they are doing in Europe. While my life is spared, the mites must be gathered up from every source to put things here in the best shape to do the work in the medical lines, to educate people how to treat the sick, and to show them a sample of what can be done. When W.C. White was in America, he should have been instructed to raise means for facilities to work with here. But he is delicate about asking for means. He will give away the last dollar of what he has, but he had no means from which to draw in America. So he drew several hundred dollars on my account to invest in health foods in order to make a beginning here. This has not yet been returned to me. Then I have helped the southern field to the amount of hundreds of dollars when every farthing was needed here to furnish us with proper facilities. In years past, the members of our family have invested in the work in America, in the sanitarium at Battle Creek, in the printing office, in the tabernacle, in the schools, and in establishing the work on the Pacific coast. Now, as we are straining every sinew and muscle to establish the work here, we wish that those in America who have the benefit of the institutions there, with their abundance of facilities, would realize their obligation to do something for this field. We are carrying the work to new fields, building meeting houses, and now must have a sanitarium built in some location in Sydney, with its branch offices in Newcastle, and in some city in Queensland, where it will be as the Lord has revealed, an enterprise which will give character to the work of advancing the truth, preparing a people to stand in the great day of God. January 4, 1899. I have not been able to sleep since 1:30. We must have the facilities to work with. Last night and the night before I seemed to be in meetings where our necessities were being reviewed. We were considering what should be done. One stood up among us, and the word of the Lord was spoken. Those in America can relieve the situation here, and should have shared with you their abundance years ago. The sanitarium has been blessed of God. It is the Lord's, and the managers there could have done a large work in establishing and equipping a sanitarium in this new world, had they placed themselves in the situation of the workers in the new field, which is constantly opening doors, requiring something to be done at once. I was bidden. Bear the message, clear and definite. God demands of them a work which should have been done when I sent my workers to break new ground in Australia. While the aggressive warfare was being carried on and the light given upon health reform, institutions should have been established to give character to the work. The sanitarium at Battle Creek could and should have given of her abundance to relieve the situation in Australia. This neglect has placed us years behind. Prejudice will keep many in this country from helping in the work, for Satan does not want such work to be established. Relief could come from America, but while next to nothing has been done in the line of preparing the way for health principles to be made prominent in Australia, everything has been absorbed in America in various enterprises that will not accomplish 1/100th part of the work that might be accomplished by investing the means in this new field, where God's experienced servants have been called to labor. God has imparted abundantly to the sanitarium at Battle Creek, and in its prosperity it might impart from the riches of its abundance to the work he has signified should be done in Australia. Our brethren have not discerned that in doing this work they would be helping themselves. Churches would be raised up, and the cause of God, which is one, would have stood in a prosperous condition years ago. God is not pleased with this neglect. While the angels are holding the four winds, a message is to enter every field in Australia as fast as possible. There is no time to be lost. The fields are all ripe for the harvest. Means has been absorbed in different impulsive movements that do no real good. But if for every expenditure they could show good results, that would not change the principles they should work upon. They were helped in raising funds to make a beginning, and now God demands of them to restrict their supposed wants and give of their abundance to start the work in this new world. Means are now to be transferred from the riches of the sanitarium to create institutions where the work has been waiting in difficulties, and where it must stand on vantage ground to make the truth all that it should be. The institutions at Battle Creek could have accomplished nothing without God, and the power of God will be their efficiency, giving to evangelizing movements all their success. While man can indeed accomplish nothing without God, the Lord has in His plans and providences chosen to consummate nothing in the work of saving souls and bodies without human cooperation. Immeasurably inferior is man's part in the work which God has ordained to be accomplished in this country. Yet that work, which might have been and should have been done, has been indispensable to the result which should now appear in solid, helpful buildings and other needed facilities. Satan has worked with all his agencies to block the wheels. But if man will cooperate with God, a great work will be accomplished in Australia. I could write much more of the instruction given, but you have enough to act upon. We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. The cooperation of divine energy and human endeavor will make a success. God will find place in all the aggressive warfare to save the world. I have had instruction from God that there is danger of planning for the outcasts in a way which will lead to spasmodic movements and excitable actions. These will produce no real beneficial results. A class will be encouraged to do that kind of work which will amount to the least in strengthening all parts of the work by harmonious action. Spasmodic movements will absorb means that ought to strengthen the work, which is represented as God's building, God's husbandry. The working of God is to be manifest in that way which will establish confidence that the work is of God's devising, and that sound principles underlie every action. The time has come for no more delay. The Lord calls for the sanitarium in Battle Creek to do a work which should have been long ago. The work here must not be crippled and go halting at every step. The good seed must be sown in its season. The plow and all the necessary implements must be used in the labor of tilling the soil, and all the conditions of seed time and harvest must be duly observed, or there will be no increase. Both in temporal and in spiritual things, in every branch of business, every department of study and science, God designs that the all-pervading principle shall be harmonious action, the cooperation of the human agencies with the divine. In our individual salvation, we are laborers together with God, and through our surrender to God, we become channels of light, instruments in saving the souls ready to die. In seeking to establish the work in this country, you would have been cooperating with God in obedience to Christ's word, "Love one another as I have loved you." John 13, verse 34. This will lead men to do many things in cooperation with unseen agencies, setting in operation ways and means of saving souls. We call from this field now for help that we must have. In imparting of your abundance, you will receive again. But there must be no reckless scattering of the means in doubtful enterprises as there has been. Every enterprise that costs money is to be carefully considered with much prayer. I tell you that which has been presented to me. Had you done the very work which God would have had you do, there would have been a far different sentiment created in this country, and a far different showing. The work and cause of God need not have been crippled. But for want of means, God's means, we have been unable to do the very things God signified should be done. We must be laborers together with God. But men have managed the work in hand very much after their own ideas and their own ways. Time, strength, health have been taxed to the uttermost, yet there is much vain work. The Holy Spirit is needed to make its marked impressions on the work. The Lord calls upon me to set these matters before you. I feel no hesitation in telling you at the sanitarium that you who received help to build up the work in America are now called upon to help in your turn to establish the work in this new field. I know you may present other fields just as destitute, but as God has placed me and my helpers in this new field to do the work here, our very first business is to see that money, time, and strength shall make the work self-sustaining. The Lord, who has made you beneficiaries of His grace and claimants of His bounty, now calls upon you to withdraw some of the means from the varied channels to which it is constantly flowing. Let it be put where it will make a showing, distinct and decided, in this new missionary field. We are commissioned to educate youth that they may go forth into missionary fields and preach the gospel to every creature. The schools in America are not to be the only places where our youth shall be educated to preach the gospel. We are instructed as to the work to be done in this country. Divine and human agencies are to be connected in all the achievements in the mechanical and agricultural, in scientific and spiritual lines. The work is to go forward solidly. It must not be desultory or haphazard. The religious training of youth to do medical missionary work is called for. We must be true to the advanced ideas to which God has led us. We must observe the laws of co-partnership between God and man. We must come under the prescribed conditions of God, that all the terms of partnership may be kept. The one party is infinitely able to do great things. Human agents are weak and helpless and absolutely dependent. But God invites them to cooperate with goodness, wisdom, and power. They are invited to come into cooperation with the great benefactor. The Lord Himself has, in His Word, proclaimed the principles on which this cooperation can be conducted, and He expects that every worker, every fellow laborer, will cordially receive His directions and obey every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the success of the human agents in this partnership will be proportionate to their faith and love and earnest zeal to advance the work soundly and healthfully as the conditions are specified. We have a guide who must in no case be left out of our individual plans. All who are laborers together with God must be sure that they are moving in wisdom. They must make no plans according to their own ambitious impulse. God is our teacher, our guide, our front guard, our rearward. I call on all who are in positions of responsibility. Be careful how you employ your influence and power to gather up means from various sources and make it flow in channels to do a certain work, when by so doing you cripple the work in regions beyond. Divine influences, with an unselfish, strong, loving, working faith, will make us laborers together with God. The earnest, intelligent human agent is not to drift with the current, but is to think soberly, sensibly, in regard to the work which must be done. At the peril of our souls, we must know the prescribed conditions under which we are called upon to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God's will, not our own, that is to rule. Haphazard work must not be done now, when means are called for to enter new fields. Our religious movements must not be made according to any individual mind. All work must be done under the laws of principle which the will of God has established. He demands that all who cooperate with Him in the great enterprise of saving souls shall work as Christ worked. Let all, said my guide, be warned. Much Christian zeal and effort has been awakened. A liberal expenditure of means, time, and exertion is required. Lines of work have been started that were needed and that should be carried forward with urgent Christian enterprise. But they could not advance in Australia because the very agencies God had appointed to help the work in this field have built up barriers and multiplied obstacles and hindrances to success. We have been hindered. The means gathered from churches they did not need, but Australia did need that means. I have done all I could do in giving money, time, and labor, but the work has been exceedingly hard because of our lack of means and the lack of sound judgment on the part of our brethren in America. As the truth is carried into the cities by means of tent work or camp meetings, the minds of the people are stirred, and souls have been converted to the truth. Then they cannot be left in a disorganized condition, as sheep without a shepherd. The great master worker has directed that those who have been prospered by God to do his work shall walk softly before him. No soul has ever yet been converted by harshness, contempt, or denunciation. Brother is to come close to brother, heart touching heart. Like our merciful high priest, we should minister to our brother with a tenderness of feeling for his infirmity. There should be no neglect to aid and support such a work as is called for in this Australia field. We are handling momentous truths, and God would have everyone sanctified by the truth which he has accepted. Mutual confidence must be encouraged. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. We are doing to the utmost of our ability in the line of means and in the line of labor. As far as our school and sanitarium are concerned, they are part of myself. I read in a book a few lines which I will here transcribe. With God's blessing, these Sunday schools will make of us a noble people. Say what you will about common schools and popular instruction, they cannot rear up a great and virtuous people without the Bible. Let the common schools qualify your son to read, and your Sunday school put him into communication with God's Word, and you have a guarantee that common education may prove a blessing, but none at all on other terms. What avails learning as the common school imparts, if its pupils are left to derive their sentiments and opinions and principles and habits from the morality of the street, the grog shops, sixpenny theaters, from cheap knowledge, cheap novels, and penny newspapers? I am free to say that I know of no reliable, comprehensive provision against the overflowing corruption, none applicable and likely to be applied to that great class of young persons who most need our efforts, beside the system of Sunday school instruction, faithfully carried out to the full extent of its capabilities and to the extent of the grievous want. The school we have established in Corinbong affords the means of obtaining a knowledge of God's Word through the day school. The Word of God lies at the foundation of all study and is made the sword of the Spirit. The teacher appeals to facts, to doctrines, a plain thus saith the Lord, every day. This is the means to raise up a holy people. Let the children be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and let all, young and old, sit as in the school of the prophets every day to learn from God out of His Word. We must have as teachers men and women who commune with God, and the leaven of truth will do its appointed work, and men, women, and children will be prepared to do all-sided missionary work. I have much more to say on this point, but not in this communication. Let my brethren remember that the medical missionary work cannot possibly be carried forward in this country unless institutions are established for the work to be done. As the right arm is to the body, so is the reformatory health missionary work to the third angel's message. But the right arm is not to become the whole body. The work of seeking the outcasts is important, but it is not to become the whole body of the work. At this camp meeting, the very work that should be done has been done. The children's meetings, or Bible kindergarten, has done a good work. The lessons given are repeated by the children in their homes, and the mothers show their interest by preparing the children neatly for the school. Most are children of parents not of our faith. The seeds of Bible truth have dropped into the soil of the heart. It is no easy exercise, but it is doing good. Impressions are being made upon the hearts of parents and children. The good these meetings have done, the great day of God will reveal. This is a large field to cultivate. Let this work be carried on. Where can the talents be better used? These workers are sowing for a harvest. The tent maker from Sydney has been here to view the large tent and has agreed to make one fully as large for a smaller sum than we would pay for this one. This will require about $300. I want this that I have written to do the work God designs it should do, and we want our brethren in America to consider the words spoken to me a few weeks before we entered this field at Newcastle. Say ye not, there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is this saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. John 4, verse 35-38. This field has been thoroughly canvassed with our books. Family after family have had Patriarchs and Prophets, Great Controversy, and other important books. The field is all ripe unto harvest. The city of Maitland is 22 miles from here, and many come from that place to these meetings. Some come and remain overnight on the ground in order to hear the evening discourse. All the suburbs are stirred up on the subject of truth. Be assured that we have advanced by faith and not by sight. Now is the time to work. The word is given me. Work while the light shines. Let the power of influence now in our favor be improved. There are those who have been on this ground who are the appointed representatives of our faith. They are the light which is to shine amid the moral darkness. The world is to have the light. Men are not to be left in darkness to accept the words coming from the popular pulpit or that which professed Christians bring into their lives. The path to the city of God is made dark and objectionable by the professed followers of God, or bright if the Sun of Righteousness shines upon them, and the Church reflects the light, holding forth the Word of Life. The practical working power of the Holy Spirit must supply the illustrations and proofs of the Word. The teachers may announce the gospel principles, but those who know the truth are to demonstrate and exemplify these principles, showing the truth in practice. This, compared to a mere profession, is as gold to the dross. Men, women, and children are anxious to know what they shall do to inherit eternal life. The Lord's commission to us is, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Isaiah 60, verse 1-3.